Now you're most welcome back to the second hour Down to Business. Bobby here, keeping you company all the way till 12 o'clock this morning. This is the show that talks to the most interesting people in Irish business. We're live here, right in the Sky Bar at Wright's Finlayners in Howth, and we're winning back to High Street. Yes. And they're out in their droves here this morning in Howth. I never thought we'd get such a welcome here. It's absolutely fantastic. You can low call us here at the station, 1-8-90-453-106. Send me a 30-cent text to 53106. Email me at downtobusiness@news.com. Open on Twitter at Bobby Kerr. We have a special hashtag, BobbyBizHoth. So keep them coming. There's loads of texts coming in, loads of tweets coming in. Coming up in this hour, shortly, I'm going to be talking to the artist Jim Fitzpatrick about life in Howth and that famous portrait of that famous revolutionary. Michael Wright of Wright's, he's in our executive chair. Ian Dempsey, all about being posh on the north side, he's going to be with us shortly. Plus, there's music from Howth theoretical physicist played on a cigar box. How about that, folks? Now, it's an iconic image recognised across the globe, but not as widely known is the story behind the poster of revolutionary Che Guevara and how it was designed by an Irish artist after a chance meeting with a revolutionary in a bar in Kilkee in West Clare. I'm delighted to welcome Mr. Jim Fitzpatrick.
Thank you.
Jim, thanks very much for joining us, and it really is a pleasure to meet you. I sort of grew up in Kilkee. My father was from there, grandfather and all that. So I was down there even the long weekend, and I still see the iconic Che Guevara poster as designed and painted by yourself on the alley walls there. Tell us.
Well, they removed the one on the seawall, if you remember. You know, so there's a very enterprising artist down there who's repainted a mural in about three different locations now, which is wonderful.
It is an iconic image, but is it one that, you know, that you created? Did you ever think it would have been as powerful as it actually been? You know, adorned all those T-shirts. You know, that it's a memorable piece.
It was deliberately intended to go what we now call viral.
Right.
I was working in a PR and advertising company called Wilson Hartnell. And by the grace of God, the bosses decided they were going to put their PR department behind it. Strangely enough, they were very conservative right-wing Catholics. But because I worked there and because publicity is always good, they actually put it into all the Irish newspapers. So after that, I was interviewed and I very grandly stated in the evening press that it was copyright free. It was art for the masses.
Okay.
There's no way back from that.
So does that mean you never made any money out of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So being, and were you at that time back in those days, were you sort of a left-wing activist?
Or? I was as far left as you could go. I was teetering over the edge.
Right, okay.
Still am, you know.
And so did you actually then meet Che in the Strand Hotel?
I did. I was working as a barman. I went to Franciscan College Gormas and I was at the past pupils last night, so I'm a bit
How
hoarse.
Are they?
A bit hoarse. diminishing. Anyway. We're getting old.
I know.
But I was working in the bar. We had to earn money for a pilgrimage to Rome, and I'm still very religious, so I was religious then. I wanted to go to Rome. And my mother, you know, being a single mother, couldn't afford it, but the priests were very smart. They made everybody pay for their own passage, so myself and Gilbert Brosnan, who lives up the hill, were sent down to Kilkee. Now, Kilkee was like the Wild West back then. There were 52 bars in it. There's only 26 now. It's reduced radically. Yeah. You know? And I had no idea what I was walking at. Now, my mother was from Clare, so I spent loads of time in Clare. But Kilkee was a different experience. Yeah. It was quite extraordinary.
And the story of Che Guevara in Kilkee is that he was fogbound. They were fogbound in Shannon.
That's right, yeah.
And they went out to Kilkee and he signed the visitor's book in the Strand Hotel where you were working.
No, I was... this is where the mythology gets all confused. I try and keep it simple. Johnny Redmond in the Strand Hotel has the Che Guevara party there after I was in Kilkee. I was well gone by then.
Is that right?
I was hitchhiking my way home.
Right.
I had to be back in school, and I had to, you know, if I didn't, my mother would kill me. So Che came in sometime in late August on a Sunday, very bright sunny day. I was back from Mass, so I was on the first shift at about 11. And I'd say about 12, 1 o'clock, himself and two of his muchachos came in the door, and they looked like something out of a Clint Eastwood movie, because there was a swing door. There was a double door. The first door was a door, and the second door was a swing door. So, I mean, and they had the long sort of coats on. They looked like the Long Riders.
No way.
But I was a very political animal. I was very radicalized by the Franciscans, who are my educators. I mean, I'm still great friends with the head of the order. Well, they're the ones who invented liberation theology, Father Leonardo Boff. Anyway, I knew who he was, so I said, you know those terrible words, like it's yourself, you know? But I said, what are you doing here, you know? And he was kind of curious to how I recognized him. But, I mean, he was very white.
You know?
This guy was dark-skinned. It wasn't very difficult. So he explained to me he was Fogbrand and Shannon. And in the course of the conversation, he told me he was Irish. Now, he didn't say he was Argentinian Irish, he didn't say he was Cuban Irish, he said, I'm Irish. And I was gobsmacked. Now, his English wasn't that great, but it was perfectly passable. So I launched into this chronology of the Irish diaspora in Latin America. Like Admiral Brown, we know him, he was on a stamp. O'Higgins of Chile, the Liberator, Bolivar's generals, O'Reilly of Cuba, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, wow, you know. So
wow.
I made an impression. But my God, did he make an impression on me? I was desperately trying to think of something to say. Anyway, he asked for a drink. I gave him whiskey. Mythology of... the Comandante is he never drank. He certainly did. He was in the White House in Limerick on a very famous hangover night before he vanished off to Bolivia. But this was a different occasion. This was 1961. So there I was, and there was Che Guevara, and I was fascinated when he told me he was Irish. He told me his father was Irish, but I've learned since Guevara Lynch considered himself Irish, but he was third generation.
Right.
But he was his. I did interviews on Al Jazeera, and they had his brother on. So his brother said that the family was Basque and Irish. But the Basque side bore the father. He loved the Irish side. There's a big Irish diaspora in Buenos Aires, in
Amazing.
The areas, Rosario, where he was from. And they played rugby. So he was in that community and he loved the Irish end. So Shea was brought up being very Irish.
And the legacy of Shea is quite divided, isn't it? That there are people who think...
It depends which part. If you're in Little Havana in Miami, you get the hate mail and you get the trolling.
Yeah.
But from Cuba and from Latin America, I got incredible stuff,
okay.
Good stuff. You know? It started off badly and ended well, let's put it that way.
Now, I was really pleased to see one of your pieces, and you don't know this, but I worked in Bewley's for many years.
Oh,
and
yes.
below my office was that wonderful piece that you did of stained glass.
Were you
in Mary Street?
Mary Street,
but it's been now moved to Grafton
That's
Street.
Right, yes. And truncated, they've lost the bottom of... The goddess should be elevated.
Yeah, well, actually, and so I lived and worked with that for years, and I was really heartened to see it when I went into Grafton Street last week.
I thought it was gone forever.
Yeah.
It was 30 years ago. I did that in 1991, and oh my God, there's a plaque there. I must see if it's still there. I wrote a letter to the Irish Times after somebody criticised me because the goddess was Kritna, and the Kritna, you know, are the Ulster loyalist, as we call them, the race of the Kritna, if you know your history or mythology. But it was quite controversial at the time because I called it that. And then there was a letter in the Irish Times giving out crap about it. So I wrote a little facetious letter saying that the goddess Kritna was the daughter of Lucan and Cú Chulainn's wife. Long story cut short, I put a plaque on the actual window that if it's still there in ancient Irish, if anybody ever goes in there, write down it and find out what it means because there's a little hidden message in there.
I'll have to see if that's still there.
But anyway, I'm very proud of that to see it in Bewley's.
It's great. And a great piece of work.
Beside my hero, Harry Clark. You know.
And can I ask you as well about the Jailbreak album and working with Phil Linnett again, who is of this parish. Tell us that story if you would.
Phil was very proud of living in Holt. He called himself, you know, what he said, Holt where all the big knobs hang out. But
And what was the story of your creative involvement on that album cover?
On Jailbreak.
Yeah.
Jailbreak was
1973 was it?
Yeah, 1974.
Right.
74, I think.
Ian Dempsey will know. We'll ask him in a minute.
Yeah, you're the chronologist. 73, 74 anyway. But that was a difficult one because suddenly we had money, right? And Philip wanted a gatefold. So I did this, we wrote this sort of sleeve note thing of this overlord overseeing the great sort of cosmos. And this was a Jailbreak out of the cosmos. And unfortunately, the gatefold, when it closed, cut out Scott Gorham's face and he's never forgiven me. So in the next albums, there was no gatefold and all four of them are on the cover. So there's two different covers.
Right, okay.
But Jailbreak is a wonderful album.
Isn't it? I only listened to it recently.
I moved over to America and I used to listen to that on the radio the whole time. That and Fleetwood Mac Rumours, you know.
So then about in relation to your art, it's expressed in so many different ways. If we talk about, you know, a poster, an album cover, a stained glass window, is it really, can your art and your creativity be applied anyway?
Well, I'm a working artist. There's no pension for artists. Yeah. You know, I just work till I drop. And right now I'm working with Brian Jones' grandson, Jules, who's only 19, and his agent said I was the only artist he ever wanted to work with. He grew up with my work, yeah. There's a reason for that. He's Donovan's stepson, and Donovan's a good old mate of mine from way back.
Right.
In the 70s, I did posters for him, you know.
So you're still connected with that kind of rock and roll world?
I love all that, yeah. Well, I don't like the excesses.
We're all too old for that. Speak for yourself, Sussie.
It's not that, but I was one of these guys that on a Saturday I was back in Dublin playing football. I didn't care where I was.
Yeah.
And even when I was, Guns N' Roses came over and invited me to their gig in Slane, and they couldn't believe I wouldn't go because I was playing football that day, you know? So I never, you know, I'm a dope smoker. I don't do drugs, hard drugs, that kind of stuff. I'm not a drinker either. But, you know, the excess of that lifestyle really got obnoxious, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I found them appalling. And it ended in Philip's death.
Yeah.
No two ways
Very
about
sad.
It.
Very sad.
I was angry and devastated.
Yeah. Yeah, because such a talent lost so early and so cruelly,
well,
really.
We used to walk the beach all the time, the Borough Beach, where I live.
Yeah.
And I expected to end my days. We used to make jokes about Blind Lemon Lennart and myself, you know, strolling the beach and on our, you know, walking sticks and whatever. It never happened, which is a tragedy, you know.
So just finally then, Jim, again, Howth as a place to live and work.
They take me out of here in a box.
That's it. So you're committed to it.
I have a small studio on the Borough Beach, and I adore it. I've been on Shane's Howth hikes; they're magnificent. I love walking that hill. I'm addicted to it. You know?
Right, right. Mm. Well, listen. Thanks for being so generous
Thank
with your
you
time.
Very much.
Thanks for coming in, and what a great ambassador for Howth, yeah. And a wonderful person, Jim Fitzpatrick. Now, up next, some Northside royalty will be joining us. We'll have Ian Dempsey. Stay tuned.